Good evening. I am Terry Snyder, AARP State President. If you're joining us this morning, it's worth repeating this evening that there's 87 members. AARP is the largest membership organization in the state. 87,000. Thank you, State Director Ken Osterkamp. It's been a long day. We're the biggest in the state. That's what matters. Our primary goal here tonight is education. We've had three great forums tonight, and you're about to see the forum for the mayors, the top of the ticket here. We also encourage you to ask questions of the candidate themselves. We will have runners in the room. That will be me and a couple other people. So please get your questions written anytime during, hold them up and we'll get them up here. We do have questions already formed for these candidates from the podium, but we want to hear your questions too. So without any further delay here for the Mayor's Forum, we're going to welcome back the moderators, Ken Osterkamp, State Director for AARP, and John Arono, who is one of the co-owners of Alaska Commons. So please welcome them.
Okay, thanks, Terry. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for taking time out of your busy week as the school season's already started to be here. And thank you to the candidates very much for making the time to be here as well. It's time to introduce the candidates. Please welcome, in alphabetical order, Larry DeVilbiss, Vern Halter, and Rosemary Vavrin. So just a quick review of the rules of the road for this event. Candidates, you'll have 2 minutes for your opening statement and 1 minute for a closing statement. You'll have 1 minute to answer each question with the exception of a lightning round that we'll hit you with at the very end. Chris, our timer, will put up a yellow sign when you have 10 seconds left, and we'll put up a red sign, plus ring a bell when your time is up. People in the audience have been encouraged to ask questions. When you have a question, please hold it up high so that our runners can see it. They'll come get it and bring it up. We'll try to get through as many as we can. We've left plenty of time for them. Obviously, if we can't get to your question, you feel free to bring it up to the candidate afterwards, and hopefully they'll get a response to you either in person or later. So it's time to start the event. There was a coin toss prior to the start. And Vern Halter will make his opening statement first, followed by Rosemary Vavrin, and then Mayor DeVilbiss. Mr. Halter, you have 2 minutes for your opening statement.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you, ARP, for hosting this event. I'm Vern Halter. I'm a 38-year resident of the state of Alaska. I grew up on a family farm in rural South Dakota, three brothers and a sister. I was a first lieutenant in the U.S. Army. I'm a veteran, Vietnam era. I went back to school, graduated from law school, and out of law school, I moved to Alaska about 38 years ago. I was a law clerk for Judge Roy Matson in Kodiak Island, and then I was made a magistrate and district court judge for the Alaska State Court System, and I was sent out to Dutch Harbor on Alaska, which was quite an experience for me, being a flatland farm boy with corn, soybeans, and I met my wife Susan out in Dutch Harbor. She was a school teacher at the time, but when I really met her, she had just graduated from Alaska's state trooper police academy, and she was on the local police force. She's now a veterinarian, works here in Wasilla Vet Clinic in Wasilla. And I have been on the assembly for 6 years now. I was on the planning commission for several years. Helga Larson, who's sitting here, was chair of the planning commission. I want to greet her and say thanks for introducing me to public service so well. Some of the issues that I think are really important in the borough include roads and schools and infrastructure, EMS and fire. Of course, we're here with ARP and our senior citizens. I am now a senior citizen. I'm 66 years old. I feel great. I feel healthy. I feel lucky. My father lived to be 94, lived in his home up till he's 91. Very proud of that. My mother died when she was 80 suddenly of a heart attack. So it was really fun to keep Dad in the home and things like that. So good medical care and things like that, good facilities, good infrastructure for seniors is very important to me. So it's a pleasure to be here tonight to answer any questions and to just see everybody.
Thank you. Our next opening statement is from Ms. Vavrin.
Thank you. I'm also very glad to be here, and I'm also... I'm the daughter of a farmer. Central Texas is where I grew up. I have lived in Alaska over 30 years, Fairbanks, Anchorage, and now I've been here in the Matsu Barrel for over 4 years. I love living here. I want to stay. I decided to run for mayor because of all my past education and media experiences, and running for mayor is the best way that I know how to give back with all the experiences that I've had. And since Vern graciously told his age, it's only fair that I also tell mine. Today is the last day that I'm going to be 69. In less than 12 hours, I'll be 70. Thank you. I'm a big supporter of the Alaska Grown Program, vegetables, fruits, animals. I'm a big supporter of that. Most folks know me because I speak up on the need for expanded and increased transit in the entire area. I have spoken up for smoke-free Alaska. I'm a big supporter of that. I love our library system. I also want to say that my Arctic silver hair is a blessing, and I'm going to ask that. I heard someone say earlier, silver tsunami. It used to be gray tsunami. Well, I've got Arctic silver hair, but folks, the word tsunami implies pain and suffering. The weather people always tell us when it's coming. It's not a tragedy for seniors to want to live in Alaska, and definitely not a tragedy to live in the most beautiful part of Alaska, the Matsu Barrel. Please, all this great energy in this room, let's find a better phrase than tsunami, whatever kind of word you put in front of it. So I just wanted to say that. My name is Rosemary. They say every flower and herb has a meaning. The herb rosemary is for remembrance.
We're going to move to Mayor DeVilbiss for your opening statement.
Thank you. My name is Larry DeVilbiss. I grew up on a homestead outside of Palmer here and graduated from high school right there. And that's not quite true because the high school was not finished yet, and so we actually had to graduate in the gym down at what's now the Borough Building, where I had graduated from junior high school. So Palmer's been home for many years. And since I've been mayor, and I've appreciated the public's trust in me for the last 3 years, I have been a mayor that's been very active and very engaged. I brought the work ethic of a farmer, and I'm glad everybody thinks they've got roots in farming because it's a noble career. But I have enjoyed being engaged and involved in many things, but most pertinent of which here is the Matsu Senior Task Force. We sat for months. That's since morphed into another group, which I'm not directly involved in, but I have been very much engaged in the issues that we're thinking about as seniors. And I guess I would be the most qualified to be called senior here because I'm 71, going on 72. And I'm still very thankful to God to be healthy. I walk past this building sometimes a couple of times a day because I had to move to town to take care of my handicapped brother, but the mayor's office is just down the street, so I look forward to maybe doing that for another 3 years and being part of this debate or forum.
Thank you, sir. We're going to move on to our first issue question, which is a budget question. Budget pressures are increasing both for the state and the borough. We will need to make some crucial decisions by trying to do more with less. How would you prioritize services you believe the borough should be providing? And we're going to start question one with Mayor DeVilbiss, then Ms. Vavrin, and then Mr. Halter.
Okay, actually those powers are prioritized for us. We're a second-class borough. That means that we don't have police powers. We don't even have full transportation powers. So a lot of the things that we might want to do, especially in the context of some of these health issues, are outside of our powers. Our primary and first obligation is education. Emergency services and roads come right after that in my priorities, and I use my veto pen pretty much along those lines.
Thank you. Next, we are going to Rosemary Vavrin for your answer to prioritizing services you believe the borough should be providing.
I would prioritize by putting transportation needs first. Everything that has been said, education, emergency services, all the others, we need to be able to get to and from. I'm a big supporter of transit. People need to get to jobs. They need to get to services. They need to get to medical care. And then they need to get to fun events like the fair. They need to get political events like this forum to the borough to speak up for their particular causes or to speak up against something. Transportation is very important. Transit is one way of doing that. Transit also keeps a lot of cars off the road. It helps with pollution or cut down pollution. So I would prioritize the number one need we have in the Mat-Su Borough is transit.
Thank you. Mr. Halter?
Thank you. Well, the budget concerns with fiscal restraints that we're going to have the next few years, of course, we have to be careful. We have to prioritize our spending. Really, schools is our number one priority. It takes 6 mils out of 9 mils out of our property taxes. It is the biggest thing. We were lucky. We had our school bonds. Our school populations were increasing rapidly. We had overcrowding in the Wasilla High School, overcrowding in the Palmer High School. A lot of our students were in classrooms, 30, 40 students in the halls. We had to bring in the extra classrooms. And so with the school bonds, we were able to build Joe Eggington Senior High School, Creotech, Pathways, several other schools, and took care of that overcrowding. 70-30 match with the state. The state was providing 70%. Same thing on road bonds. We were 50-50 match for the state. And, of course, we built many roads. So budget things, we have to be careful. We are residential property taxes. That's our main source, really, except for the money that's coming down from the state. And so we got to be very frugal and very careful when we're budgeting.
Thank you. I'm going to turn it over to John for a follow-up question on the budget and then a follow-on question on housing and transportation.
Thank you. So for the services you believe should be provided, where should the money come from? Should it include new or increased taxes and fees? And Rosemary, we'll begin with you.
I think that at whatever time I am called Mayor Rosemary, I would like to see an assessment of how the money is being spent. I think that there's a lot of money being spent out that way, but the phrase I was looking for, a wiser use of the money that we have. That's what I'm looking for.
All right, and next to Mr. Halter.
Well, prioritizing money once again, I guess we really have to look at it carefully from the standpoint of the mill rate. You know, we really, our area-wide mill rate's been under 10 for a considerable period of time. We want to keep it there, really. And then we have the fire service area mill rates, the road service area mill rates, our landfill is that's an enterprise fund, so it's user fees, and that's a big ticket item. You know, we just went through this. We had to reduce the landfill rates a little bit to get them a little bit easier on folks. And I guess the priorities that I want to see, raising taxes is a tough thing right now. In the state of Alaska, of course, we had to do the budget this fiscal cycle without knowing what the state was doing because they were still in session. We're mandated by law to have a budget ready and passed at a certain time in May. So we had to do that not knowing with some fiscal uncertainty. But I thought we really did a great job. We gave the schools a 3% rate increase because their number of students went up 660 this year. And so that's our number one priority. Roads right behind it. So.
And Mr. DeVilbiss.
Yes, I would first of all like to give a shout out to our legislator, Shelley Hughes, that's here. We've enjoyed the luxury of being able to match only 30% of the money that we've been putting into our new schools, and most of our road bonds have been matched at 50%. We do not expect to be able to do that in the next build out. And what I anticipate and have been working towards is building out our tax base so that it's not entirely based on the residential property owner. It's only as we build out our commercial sector that we get local jobs and that we begin to shed some of that tax load onto more expensive commercial properties that will carry the load. And the pipeline that's coming down for gas is one of those that will take almost 9% of our tax load right off the top.
Thank you so much. Now we're going to segue into a little talk about housing and transportation. Alaska's senior population is increasing faster than any other state, and the Mat-Su population is increasing fastest within the state, meaning the Mat-Su is one of the fastest aging places in the United States. And we've already heard this term once, but in the middle of this silver tsunami, trying to find affordable senior housing is a challenge for many middle to low income seniors. Our transportation system should also meet the needs of a growing senior population. If elected, what solutions would you propose for housing and transportation? And we'll go right down the line, starting with you, Mr. Halter.
Well, to start with our keeping our senior population here in the state of Alaska with us is a wonderful thing. You know, we do have the senior tax exemption. It's $150,000 from the state. We did put it on for taxpayers to vote on whether or not to go up to $218,000 here in the borough. The taxpayers actually approved that by a large margin. So we have a $218,000 senior property tax exemption. Same thing for disabled veterans, and that's a good thing. Now, you don't have to sign up for that either if you don't want to. So it is voluntary. But that should help people in their households. Our average house is $218,000, so that's where that number comes from. So if you were at a $218,000 house, you would have to pay no senior property taxes. And then having facilities like we're sitting in right here today in our major areas, Palmer, Wasilla, Houston, and things like that, and senior housing we have in Willow, you know, we need to improve that. We need to get to transportation. Rosemary's right, having mass transit and easy access and transportation for seniors is something we need, wheelchair access, and stop.
Well done, Mr. DeVilbiss.
Are we changing order?
Oh, yeah, I figured, oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. 100 years from now, 200 years from now, our children, grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren will be here. When they study the history books about the Mat-Su Valley, are they going to say, what a blessing they had in that time? They knew they had a lot of seniors. Did they appreciate what they had? I don't know what the answer is going to be 100 years from now. Maybe, perhaps, possibly, it's an anomaly that so many seniors want to live here. But folks, it's not a tragedy, it's not a tsunami, it's a blessing. Yes, we do need more senior housing, we need more transit, but the first step is recognizing it is a good thing to have all these seniors in our midst. And some of us are going to wait until we're 100 before we really call ourselves a senior citizen.
And Mr. DeVilbiss.
Yes. We have created a very favorable environment for our local seniors to stay independent, to stay in their homes. I think that was a right move, and we actually did it in two increments that brought it up to the level this year where the average home for a senior would be tax exempt. And maintaining through education and collaboration and networking, the concept of seniors in our community, being able to network and be as independent as possible is one of my goals. I have resisted the tendency, and we're under pressure right now to consolidate the mass mover services that are provided right now. We have a handful of them, and I would like to keep those as independent and available as possible.
Thank you so much, and now I'll turn it over to Ken with the next question.
Thanks, John. We're moving on to the lightning round around health issues. We're going to give you 20 seconds to answer how you would approach some of the borough's top health challenges as identified in the 2013 MATSU Community Health Needs Assessment. So I believe we are starting first with Mayor DeVilbiss, and the question or the issue at hand, how would you deal with alcohol and substance abuse issues in the Valley? 20 seconds.
I believe it needs to be through education, and to some degree we've applied to Syntax that studies show has done some inhibitions in that area.
Thank you. And Ms. Vavrin, your views on alcohol and substance abuse in 20 seconds.
I think one of the things that would be the most helpful in the near future, 3, 5, 7 years, we need more facilities like Nugent's Ranch to help people who live here and help them stay here when they are recovered and ready to start a new life. I want folks to stay here.
Thank you. And Mr. Halter?
Well, just drug and alcohol-free zones around our schools, the education through our schools. Taxation does work. It's a proven fact. The Matthew Health Foundation cigarette taxes does reduce the amount of smoking. We just passed a tax on vapor-type cigarettes or type of smoking. I'm full support of that because it does work.
Thank you. Second lightning round question. A need or challenge identified in the 2013 MATSU Community Health Needs Assessment, domestic violence and sexual assault. Your views, we will start with Ms. Vavrin.
I think we need more public safety officers, whether that's state troopers, Palmer Police, Wasilla Police. I live in Wasilla. I think that more public safety officers, whatever the title is, would make people stop and think about what they're doing. And I think that would be a big deterrent. It's not 100%, of course, but it would be a big deterrent.
Thank you. And the second on this question is Mr. Halter.
Well, I think the biggest difference between Mayor DeVilbiss and myself was the $150,000 grant that we awarded to the City of Wasilla and the state troopers for SART, which is a sexual assault response where evidence collection for women that have been victims of rape would be conducted right here in the Valley with our schools and medical facilities. The mayor vetoed that. We overrode that veto 7-0. Steve Culligan from Wasilla was the sponsor of the $150,000. I'm in full agreement with that.
Thank you, sir. And Mayor DeVilbiss, your response, domestic violence and sexual assault in the Valley.
Again, this is an area that's outside of the borough's powers. This is an area, though, where I have been very active in collaborating, especially in the faith community. There's a number of agencies that are involved in education and counseling in this area that I think needs to be expanded in this borough.
Thank you. And for the final lightning round question, we are going to start with Mr. Halter, go to Mayor DeVilbiss, and end with Ms. Vavrin. And that question is your view on the smoke-free workplace law. Mr. Halter.
100% in favor of it. Like I said earlier, I don't smoke anything myself, and I just think it's when you're in a work environment with your fellow employees, if you don't smoke and somebody else does, you're subject to the problem. So I'm 100% for work-free zones.
Thank you, and Mayor DeVilbiss.
I support that. Palmer's shown us how to do it.
Thank you, and Ms. Vavrin, your answer on smoke-free workplace law.
I'm definitely in favor of smoke-free workplaces. I'm in favor of smoke-free Alaska. Somebody recently promised me a button. I love smoke-free Palmer. That's one of the things I love about here. I myself do not smoke anything. I don't want to smoke anything. Not only is there secondhand smoke that's bad, they're talking about third-hand smoke that's bad. I'm just in favor of smoke-free, period.
Thank you very much for putting up with our ambush journalism style lightning round there. I'm going to turn it back over to John, and we're going to get to a massive amount of questions from the audience, and we'll get through, again, as many as we can. The answers are going to be 1 minute each, I believe we're doing for these. And John, over to you.
All right, the fun part. And you all have done an amazing job. We have quite an impressive stack over there. So in the lightning round, we were just talking about smoke-free, and we got a ton of questions on e-cigarettes or vaping. So we'll start with that. What is your view on the health effects of e-cigarettes, including secondhand effects and gateway effects? And we will start with Mr. Halter.
Oh, well,
I'm sorry, did you want to go first?
I thought you were going to look for volunteers. Yeah, I'll be glad to go first.
This time we'll start with Mr. Halter, and we'll just go right down.
E-cigarettes.
But I appreciate the enthusiasm.
E-cigarettes, vapor is just another means of delivering nicotine to the human system. We taxed it along with tobacco projects just the other night, as we said on the assembly. I think if you watch students and out-state fair and things, it seems like it's a very colorful, very easy thing. It's okay, something that's okay to do. So I think we really better watch that very carefully. And so the start was to include it with taxation along with cigarettes, cigars, snuff, and things like that. So.
And Mayor DeVilbiss?
Yes, I have the distinct reputation of vetoing the e-cigarette tax, and it was not because I advocate for e-cigarettes. I got called the day after that passed because the people that were in the business, and there's several of them, could not identify from the title of the language that put that on the agenda that it had anything to do with e-cigarettes. So I vetoed it so that there could be more discussion on the subject, and there was a lot of good information that came out. I think probably the assembly did the right thing, although I don't think it's quite just to tax the container. We don't tax the pipe that pipe smoke is smoked in, but this issue of taxing the e-cigarette delivery things is going to put some of those people out of business.
Thank you. And Ms. Faber.
Folks use the phrase e-cigarettes and vapor interchangeably. This past summer, I made a trip to the Anchorage Zoo, and I spent several hours there. But as you go into the entrance, those of you who have been there recently, there's a big sign. No smoking on premises, second line, including e-cigarettes. I applauded them. I was so glad they were protecting the animals. Well, let's protect people too, because we're two-legged creatures. We need protection. No nicotine, no e-cigarettes, no vapor cigarettes, and no whatever new name they come up with next year.
Thank you very much. So we got a lot of questions dealing with, you know, we're seeing a decrease in federal funding, a decrease in state funding. Would any of you consider or remove the tax cap? And this time we'll start with Ms. Favre.
No, I would not remove the tax cap. And while I have the microphone, some of you may have been at a meeting at the Menard Center a few months ago in which Governor Walker was talking about having to cut back. And he asked a very interesting question. As we consider what services we're going to have to cut, we need to ask, who are we? Who do we want to be? And that will determine what services we keep. And it's a good question, not just for people in the state, but for people here in the Matsu Borough. And by the way, most of those forms in the past went to Anchorage and Fairbanks only. The borough was so important that Governor Walker had a forum here for the Matsu Borough residents. I thought that was great.
Mayor DeVilbiss.
Yeah, what was the question again?
Oh, sure. With decreased federal and state funding, would you consider removing or changing the tax cap?
Absolutely not. And there's only one person at the table had legislation to remove the tax cap. I'm committed to the limitations that our voters have put on us. And it's not actually a tax cap, it's a revenue cap, so that it limits the amount of revenue that we can take in through taxes. And I think that's a good discipline, especially in the days ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Halter.
The tax cap is live, it works well. It is a good check on the assembly. It makes you think. When we receive our budget from the manager, They always have his proposed mill rate in it. The chief financial officer will have what the tax cap is. We don't even come closer. The tax cap's up around 11. We are always operating under 10. The tax cap works. The mayor is referring to an exemption I had toyed with, but I withdrew, did not present it. The tax cap is an easy thing to misunderstand, but it's a great thing for the assembly to follow.
Thank you. This next question is, the Mat-Su School District has the highest class sizes in the state of Alaska. Many high school teachers teach more than 200 students a day. How will you be committed to a high quality public education for all Mat-Su public schools students? And let's start with Mayor DeVilbiss on this one.
Okay, actually we received that news just last week at our joint meeting with the school district. That information came out as almost a statement of pride. And they were pointing out the fact that with good use of online internet services, they have been able to deliver effective education in this borough, even with the higher classes, higher numbered students. I was on the school board for two terms, and so I really understand the impact of this, but we're coming into a new age of education where we're going to have to start thinking outside the brick and mortar, and I'm proud to say that our school district is up to the task, and I'm proud of what they're doing.
Mr. Halter?
I'm very proud of him, too. First of all, I'd like to congratulate Dina Paramo, who was just appointed by the governor to the Board of Regents, University of Alaska, a very signature event. Class size is a concern. You know, whenever you have too many students in a class with teachers, it seems like it detracts from the students' ability to learn. So having good schools and good infrastructure, and, you know, they projected 370 new students this fall, wound up 660. So we built Joe Reddington Senior High School to hold 700. So by golly, the number of students in 1 year, the rise caught up with us right there. So we have to, right now it's be tough to bond schools because the state has a moratorium on it now. So we have to be very careful. I'm not saying that. But we have to watch our class sizes. We have to work with the teachers. I love our school board and our school staff right now. They're just, our connection with the borough assembly and the school board and the school staff is amazing. We are in sync, and so we're watching things like that very carefully. But we don't want to get out of control and start thinking we could just forget about it and let these class sizes and let our growth grow too fast, and we don't do anything about it.
Thank you. And Ms. Favre.
I understand the question regarding large class sizes. I used to teach high school. Unfortunately, it was not in Alaska. It was in Texas. I taught first year French, world history, and American history. And the classes that were smaller, it just happened that way when the high school students chose their classes. The classes that were smaller in size had a higher grade average because I was able to give them more time. I was glad it worked out that way because it made me feel good because I could help them. So I know what they're talking about. And yes, we need to find new ways to spread out the money, whether it's using technology or whether it's cutting back on something else. But it is a problem. I've experienced it myself, and I've experienced the benefits of the smaller class sizes.
Thank you very much. The next question, do you support gravel extraction and other resource extraction taxes as a revenue source over property taxes? And Ms. Favrin, we'll start with you on this one.
That's an interesting question. I don't know any details about gravel extraction. And at such time as I have the title of Mayor Rosemary, that's one of the things I would be wise to investigate. At this point, I don't know enough about it.
Mr. Halter?
Well, we put gravel extraction taxes in front of the voters, I want to say 6-7 years ago, and it failed. There's no tax on gravel extraction at this point in time. I don't foresee it happening anytime in the future. We're not going to put that in front of the voters anytime that I know of. That would be an assembly decision, and that would not be my recommendation. There is a tremendous amount of building, and of course, when you have all these road bonds and school bonds, if you think about the number of jobs, the number of contracts, the number of subcontracts that were produced, and these are all assembly decisions, and I was on the assembly the full time when your road bonds and school bonds came down. The number of jobs and the number of the amount of materials that were used is incredible. Subcontracts and things like that is what has fueled the economy in our borough to some extent. We always want to have a growth. I do heavily support finishing the railroad spur line. We started that on my tenure on the assembly. That needs to be completed. That is a big time ticket project. If it goes unfinished or languishes a while, we're in big trouble because our port, Anchorage is jealous of our port for good reason. We have deeper water. We could take bigger ships. We could take commerce in, commerce out, and we need that railroad spur.
Thank you. Mayor DeVilbiss?
Yes, I always get nervous when they start talking about extraction taxes, because if you can tax a rock coming out of the ground, you could probably tax a carrot coming
carrots.
Out of the ground.
We're gonna get those carrots.
It bothers me a lot. But I got to say that one of the biggest drivers for the cost of a new house and a driveway is the cost of gravel. So to think that we're helping ourselves by taxing the gravel is a little twisted in my thinking.
Thank you. Another potential revenue source. We've gotten a lot of questions about your opinion on the newly legalized marijuana industry coming to the Mat-Su Valley. And let's just go right down the row here, starting with Mr. Halter.
Well, I believe Palmer is going to have it on the ballot here to decide whether or not they want commercialization this fall, so they get the choice inside their city to vote on that. Of course, we had a state initiative the past a year ago. We have the governor, they're going to do a marijuana control board, much like the alcohol control board. I think Governor Walker appointed a prosecutor to run that board. They're coming up with regulations. They're probably trying to look at Colorado and Washington, some of the former states that are addressing this issue and looking at those regulations. I used to be a judge and a public defender. I know the state of Alaska, Ms. Hughes, you know, sometimes our prisons are so full now that they you know, and certain people might have to be let out of prisons because it costs so much to house them, so we got to be careful there. There's good sides to that marijuana, there's bad sides to that marijuana. But good regulation and something, we don't want it to go back to the black market, we don't want it to go back to the level of crime. I saw that when I was a judge and public defender. I saw some people that went to jail that should not have been there. Probably some people should have been in jail that somehow didn't get there. So it's a tough issue, it's a local issue.
Mayor DeVilbiss.
Well, I've actually been actively involved on the local option, which is part of the package that came with the ballot measure 2 that passed last fall. We were promised that the commercialization of marijuana did not need to happen without the local option. Well, it's not a local option if it doesn't get to the voters. I asked my assembly to put it on the ballot and they declined. So I personally sponsored the one that's on the ballot this fall in Palmer. And because I'm living here, I could do that. There are initiatives covering the rest of the borough that are at different phases on that, but I strongly believe that the voters should be able to decide if they want commercial marijuana to roll right over them or not.
Ms. Favrin, your thoughts on pot?
I'm totally against marijuana anything. When I was teaching high school, these were teenagers. At that time, it just so happened some of the national news networks were showing, airing PSAs talking about anyone who sells or buys anything illegal helps put these teenagers in a coffin. And they showed, and was very effective, teenagers laid out in a coffin. Now, rationally, I knew those kids were not dead and they're probably getting spending money for being there. But I found myself very emotionally affected because that was the age group that I was teaching. And I didn't want to even think about this person in my sixth period class or this person in third period class laid out in a coffin. So I'm against marijuana anything.
Thank you all very much. Another topic that we have gotten a flood of questions about is the use of veto power. What is your philosophy on the use of the veto pen? And we'll start with Mr. Halter.
Well, the veto is one of the powers of the mayor. It's a good power. I think a good mayor, Mayor Menard, Mayor Coburg, who I started with, you know, they would get involved with the dialogue of an ordinance and say their wishes and be part of it. And it seems like that's a good way to go. I think sometime when you use a veto power, just a veto, or as a power in itself, is sometimes frustrating. And a lot of the vetoes that I thought have come down, like there's library funds going to Palmer and Wasilla. They're a partner with the borough. We have residents from the borough going into the city libraries. And so we were giving them a $50,000 grant per year. The mayor vetoes those. I would not veto those. I think that's a good partnership with our cities. It shows our intent with them. And the SART veto, I definitely disagree with that. The mayor vetoed the road bonds, the 2011 road bonds. He vetoed them. He says it was because of trails, but if that veto would not have been overridden, it would not have been able to go in front of the voters that fall. It would have killed that program. I'd be a lot more careful.
Mr. Mayor?
Well, I've got a red pen, but it doesn't have red ink tonight. But I primarily use the veto power to watch the budget, to watch the tax bill. It's what it really boils down to. But lots of times there are reasons why I think that we need to bring it back on the table for more discussion, one of which was already mentioned in the case of those road bonds. So the intent language with the veto made it very clear I was not after any roads, but I thought it was false advertising to put trails on a bond proposition that specifically said roads. It didn't say roads and trails. My effort there was to either improve the language so the voters weren't going to be in any way fooled about that. So, and lots of times in the mayor's office, that phone that rings the day after assembly action has to do with veto powers, and those are not always predictable.
Ms. Faber.
More than a year ago, when I began to seriously think about running for public office in which I would run, I investigated the mayor. The mayor of the Mat-Su Borough is basically an honorary title, which led me to promote myself as a cheerleader for the borough. But there are some very specific responsibilities, one of which is a veto power, which then the assembly can override subsequently. And the mayor also can break a tie. Although with seven assembly members, I don't see how there's going to be a tie. Veto would be something I would very seriously consider at times, because I know that if the assembly doesn't like it, they can override it. But I was learning about the position of mayor, and I realized that since it is basically an honorary title, I could be a cheerleader, and I tend to focus more on that.
Thank you very much. Next, I'm going to combine a couple questions. There's a common theme. And we'll start with Ms. Favrin and work our way back on this one. Why do you think there is so little public participation regarding, you know, very tough financial decisions ahead? And what would you do as mayor to increase participation in the public process?
Okay, the first part of that question is, why is there so little public? I've lived here in the Mat-Su borough a little over 4 years. The last 2 years, I've been to more government or political type events because I've learned how to use the transit systems. One of the biggest problems is not being able to get to meetings. Now, as far as the borough is concerned, I've been to more meetings of the Transit Advisory Board because they meet in the middle of the day. It's hard to come to the borough meetings because how do I get home? There's no bus service. What was the second part of that? Oh, how would I promote? I would use the media more to promote and let people know the times, the topics that are being discussed. And I would strongly urge the assembly, when I'm mayor, I'll urge the assembly, let's plan this ahead of time. People need to make plans. Telling people that tomorrow there's going to be a certain topic discussed is not adequate knowledge. More use of the media.
Well, you could conjecture that one reason there's less involvement is because they're so happy with what we're doing. I'm not going to assume that.
That went over.
Yeah, right. When I came into office 3 years ago, one of my promises was to make our borough business at the assembly meetings more available to the public, and we've taken some good steps in that direction. At this point, if you want to have notice on public hearings pushed to you, all you got to do is contact the clerk's office, and you'll get email notice on those items. And of course, the packet and our budget are all available online, and with all the detail that we get as the mayor and assembly persons. But I am not satisfied yet, and my intent is, by the time the next term's over, is for people to be able to teleconference in from WASI over in Wasilla, or the Talkeetna Library with the video conferencing capabilities that are there. So I'm still fighting with the clerk about some of that, but we're going that direction.
Thank you, Mr. Halter.
Well, I don't know what it is, but it seems like sometimes an issue has to be divisive, and then all of a sudden there's just a ton of people. You could have a $10 million ordinance on the assembly docket, and hardly anybody says a word about that. And then there's something like e-cigs or something like that, and the whole room is full. So I guess it's just human nature. It's very frustrating sometimes when you're an assembly member, too. But I think in a general rule, general sense, we have districts. We have 7 districts in the borough. We have our planning commissioners. We have our assembly members. This is a huge borough, size of West Virginia. We have a very diverse, distinct communities within those. I think when we listen to our community councils and we take input from them and we get good input from them, we trust them, which I like to do, it seems like our democracy works quite well, and that's what it is. The reason I went into the Army was to protect our democracy, and I like the way the system works. We just need to keep that communication up with the local communities, the Chamber of Commerce, anything like that we could do. So dialogue is a great thing, and it doesn't always have to be the night of a meeting. It can be prior to the meeting. It could be in writing. It could be by emails, and get the information out, get the things back that we want to hear, and then make decisions. That's the job of the Assembly, and that's how it works, and I love it.
Thank you all so much, and keep those questions coming in. We're getting fantastic questions from you all. Thank you so much. And for now, Ken's going to take over once again.
Give you a break from all this questioning. Oh, no. You volunteered for this, may I remind you, and good on you for it. So let's see. I believe you answered the last question, Mr. Halter. So if I have the order right, we're going to Ms. Vavrin to go first on the next question. And this question is, the handling of the MV Susitna Ferry has been a travesty. What can we do to stop this?
Sink it.
Yes, it has been a travesty. So much money has been lost. How it can be solved is an excellent question. I'm not part of the problem. I would like to be part of the solution, but at this moment, if I'm elected, when I'm elected Mayor Rosemary, I'm going to have to investigate that because I don't know what the solution is. I just wish somebody would do something ASAP. It's gone on long enough.
Well, one thing we could do is learn that there's some things that government shouldn't do, and I don't think the borough should be in the shipping business. But the assembly did approve, and the manager is working on a sale right now. So I think this is coming to a natural conclusion, and we'll all have a party when it's done.
I want to come.
Well, it was probably the biggest blunder that the Mat-Su Boroughs made, the assembly, and you know, big eyes. It looked really, really good at the time. $89 million to build this thing, and we're selling it for $1.5 million. We haven't been able to use it. It's when you take your eyes off the ball. It's when your essential services, your essential mission of your borough is schools and roads and things like that. When you get off into the rough. And of course, this was a hard lesson for us, and it'll never happen again. It would never happen with me as mayor. I would, I think I would join forces with Ron Arvin to scrap it. It just seems like it's been a horrible thing for the citizens of the Mat-Su Borough to go through. I apologize for it. I don't know what else to do, but the manager has hopefully two buyers. One's a foreign country, Philippine Red Cross wants to use it for hospitals, and I think there's a backup buyer, so maybe we will part with it. And it's been a great lesson for me sitting on assembly of what not to do. And so stick to your basic primary mission. Essential services in the borough will be a lot better off.
Okay, for the next question, we're going to start with Mayor DeVilbiss. What are your thoughts on the port project and pushing the bridge through? How will it be funded? How will it affect Big Lake? So we're continuing with our maritime theme.
Well, 1 minute, right? Okay. Well, I really believe that the port is our number one hope for economic development on a commercial scale. We're working on two leases right now that that are promising of bringing investors that will be investing over $1 billion in each of those leases to manufacture LNG. And that's all based on Cook Inlet gas. They're hoping that it will even grow with the pipeline from the north. But you know, $1 billion is a big chunk of our value. The state assessor tells us that we're worth $9 billion. You could buy every mountaintop, valley, building, and asset in this borough with $9 billion. Well, that's your tax base. If you can start plugging in businesses that build that tax base and are not putting kids in school, that really helps the tax issue. So it's good, and the bridge is good, too. We've got to keep plugging away on that, but I think that's a longer shot.
Thank you. Mr. Halter?
Yeah, the long-term investments that we have with the Railroad Square and the port are that's our bright future, no doubt about it. You know, the bridge, and if we brought the bridge in and all the commercial traffic, all the trucks, all the buses could go up through that northern route to Fairbanks. That's the mission of the Parks Highway. So really, the mayor is correct. It would help with our residential property taxes, but it's probably something that's not going to be short term. So don't get to thinking that that's going to happen right away and your taxes are going to go down. It's one of those slow, steady things that we have to keep working on. And we do have to get that railroad spur done as quick as we can. The LNG project coming down, the pipeline coming down, I was quite frustrated that it was not going to our port. It's they say they're going to put it west of the Big Sioux River and then give us a spur, but that costs millions more. I'd have much preferred to have the route go right into our port and then, of course, on the Nikiski if they wanted. But so now it's going 200 miles to the Mat-Su Borough, and it's going to the Kenai Borough. And it's a very frustrating thing for me. I think that needs some leadership, and we need to say we want it at our port, we want it in our borough, even if they're going to go on to Nikiski. And so that's where leadership comes from. I think I would go down with the cities and present that.
Thank you. Ms. Baverin, your thoughts on the port project and the bridge?
I'm in support of both. I'm in support of all means of transportation to bring people to the borough, and if folks from the borough want to travel, they need more means of transportation. Right now, we have basically one highway from here to Anchorage, the largest city, and of course, the railroad pretty well follows the road. We have one road going north to Fairbanks, the state's second largest city. So I'm in favor of all means of transportation coming to the borough. I'm also in favor of increasing transportation transit within the borough itself. And as has been said, the Mat-Su Borough acreage-wise is as large as several of the smaller states put together. So this is a big area. We need more transportation. So let's start doing it ASAP.
Thank you. For our next question, we're going to start with Mr. Halter. And we're going to give you a chance to expand a little bit, I think, on comments you've all made at various points. What new revenues would you propose to balance the budget instead of just reductions?
You mean for the borough?
Correct.
Well, I wouldn't promote any new taxes. I'd promote watching our area-wide mill tax. I would promote being conservative at the time, being frugal. I definitely want to keep our essential services moving. We can't drop the ball on that. We can't think that all of a sudden you could cut back down to a system where we happened in the 80s and all of a sudden you start losing residents. We have to be very careful of that. Our student population is going up and going up rapidly, like I said earlier. Our roads are being used. We want people to get to work safely and quicker. That's what the road by. I do disagree with the mayor on the road bonds. You obviously can see that. You're looking at Vine and Mac and Trunk South, all of these roads that make life easier and we get to work quicker. We don't want to drop the ball just because we're in a little bit of a tight fiscal. We want to be planning. We want to look to the future. We don't want to look to the past. And so that's where we have to be. EMS and fire, you know, we need good ambulance service. We need good fire service. If there's one thing we learned this summer from the Sockeye fire is how quick we could get on something and stop it and prevent it from getting totally out of control. And if all of a sudden you start cutting, you can see the writing on the wall on that deal.
Thank you. Ms. Vavrin, balancing the budget with revenues instead of just reductions.
Yeah. Regarding the new revenues, the step before new revenues is wiser use of the revenues that we currently have. We don't want to lose any of the services that Vern just itemized really well. We don't want to lose those, but I think there's ways of wiser use of all our revenues. And then the second step would be to consider, and let's talk about how we can have more money coming in.
Thank you. And Mayor DeVilbiss?
Well, apart from what I've already said about expanding our tax base by expanding our commercial base, that brings our economy home. We're a bedroom community right now, both to Anchorage and to the North Slope. That makes us very vulnerable. The closer home we can bring our jobs and our economy, the healthier we're going to be. But I would like I'm a strong believer in user fees. There's no reason why we should be subsidizing different services that are directly benefiting users. I believe that in some cases privatization is something that could be looked at. I don't believe we should be in the business of competing with the private sector on things like ICE. That's just not where government ought to be. And it's a big expense to us as well.
Thank you. And for our next question, we're going to start first with Ms. Vavrin. Would you as mayor consider petitioning the State Local Boundary Commission to change our borough classification for more control over our own future?
Oh, I definitely think we should have more control over our own future. As far as the border control, is that the phrase you used?
More local control, I think, over our own future.
More local control. Yes, I think we should. And it is possible that down the road there will be more powers given to the Matsu Borough Assembly and mayor, but definitely we decide our own future. We the people, those of us gathered here, our friends, our families, we decide our future, and we should always speak up. I think this came up earlier. We need to speak up when we have the opportunity, because that is how we determine our future. As has been said in some of the assembly meetings, only a few people show up, and other times on a small issue, lots of people show up. We need to show up. We need to speak up. And folks, don't be afraid of the microphone. It's just a little gizmo thing.
Thank you. Mayor DeVilbiss, your views on changing the borough classification.
Well, in 1964, the Mandatory Borough Act gave us the choice of being first or second. Hello. You got another one of these?
Yeah, it's going good.
Yeah, the battery's dying. Anyway, the voters at that time determined that it was going to be a second-class borough. There's been at least one attempt that I can remember to change that. It could be changed again. It would have to go to the voters to become a first-class borough. That gives us the full bundle of rights, police and everything else that comes with a first-class borough. So, you know, I I would rather keep the borough small and limited and just push everything that wants more services, more density into our cities. I think that's more appropriate. So that's where I would be on that issue.
Thank you. Mr. Halter.
Well, I don't think I'd be in a rush right now to change our system right now, especially during the next few years when we have to watch our fiscal restraints. You know, police powers would be one thing. The cities have police powers here, Wasilla, Houston, and Palmer. We have a state troopers throughout the rest of the borough, having better partnerships with that. The number one issue right now is CAD, how we're going to communicate within the systems and how to improve that, E911, all those systems. That's an issue that we really need to work on within the borough to get our ambulances out quicker, to be coordinated with the cities and with the state troopers. There's some resistance from the troopers. That's really the technical issue that we need to work on in the next few years. And so I don't think I'd be in a rush to change right now. You could put it in front of the voters. It's a very interesting thing with our road service areas, how road service areas are set up. You know, that's our road powers. There's little entities within many different areas of the borough. They have their own road boards and things like that. People like that. It's kind of local control. The local road boards add input. They have their own service areas. They have their own mill rate. They budget things. It's usually operating money mainly. It doesn't produce much capital is the problem. So we have to bond, and we have to go to the state for grants to get money to really build the roads. And so quite a system.
Thank you. I know we're down to our last few minutes. You've all done a real yeoman's job of sticking with us, both at the table and the audience. We sure appreciate it. We're going to move on to closing statements, and we're going to start with Mayor DeVilbiss, move on to Mr. Halter, and finish up with Ms. Vavrin. What I'd like you to do at the very beginning of each of your closing statements is to say, what is the one priority that if it does not happen on your watch as borough mayor, you'd consider your term a failure? Your must-have priority should you be elected. And we're starting with Mayor DeVilbiss.
And this is 1 minute?
Yeah, this is your closing statement and addressing the single most important priority at the beginning.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'd like to thank you, AARP, for putting this on. I think it's the biggest gathering that we've had so far. I think it's good for people to be as informed and as exposed as possible to the candidates. I've enjoyed being your mayor. I've put myself forward and am willing to give another 3 years. I'm very thankful that and very aware that I'm just, all of us are just one heartbeat away from room temperature. But as long as God gives me good health and a good mind, I would like to apply it towards making things happen in this borough. I believe I'm in a position to collaboratively pull together some of this resources, especially in the faith network. I think as things tighten up, we are going to have to work together on a lot of these areas, especially those areas that are outside the borough powers that are delegated to a second-class borough. So thank you for letting me be your mayor. I've enjoyed it. I've tried to do a good job, and I ask you to vote. And if you've got extra money in your pocket, I've got a table back there that would be glad to help you out with that.
Thank you. We're moving now to Mr. Halter. Your closing statement, starting with the number one priority that you would see as a must-pass priority during your administration.
Well, I guess I'd be frustrated if we couldn't complete the railroad project in a very timely fashion and as soon as possible we could to keep our port operating and improve our port. I want to thank ARP for having us here tonight too. It's just a great forum, a great place to have a debate and a discussion. To me, I guess the central services of the borough are very important to keep that going in times when fiscal restraint is going to be called upon. I have been on the assembly for 6 full years. I've watched the road bonds form, the school bonds, you can see the effects of those. I'd like to continue that. That's good leadership. The largest assembly meeting that's ever been held was held in my city of Willow last spring. Ron Arvin, I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I like to look at issues from just a standpoint of a factual thing. Some of my fellow assembly members said some wonderful things about me at that. I think I would be a good leader into the future, and I'm talking about the future. You can never go backwards. And we have growth and things like that that we have to prepare for. and we have to be frugal with our taxes. I'm very good with the budget. I think the lowest mill rate that's ever been offered to the public with 2015, 9.662. I was one of the chief architects, if not the chief architect of that mill rate. And I would ask for your vote. I'd love to be your mayor.
Thank you. And our final closing statement, Ms. Vavrin, starting with your must-see priority, should you be elected.
I would like to be instrumental in improving and vastly expanding our local transit service, not only in the Wasilla-Palma or Palma area, the core part, but also with our other cities and towns, Sutton and Chickaloon to the east, Talkeetna, Trapper Creek, Big Lake, Houston, Willow. We need to vastly do that. I also want to encourage everybody to think about running for public service the next term and the next term. And please encourage your relatives and your friends, particularly folks in the 20s, in their 20s and 30s. We need the energy and enthusiasm of youth. We need the experience and the ability of the three of us up here and a number of you here. We need everybody. Encourage folks to think about public service. And please, let's find another phrase besides tsunami. You folks are very creative. I just want to be a cheerleader for the Matsu Borough.
Thank you all very much. Let's have a hand for all of our candidates. So that's going to be it for our forum. Make sure you stop by the booths out there, meet the candidates, ask any questions you have. Thanks to AARP for putting this together. Thanks to the Senior Center and Radio Free Palmer. And give yourselves a hand. Thanks so much for coming out tonight.